Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Big Joe Dubin. Michelle Knezovic here with us. Intern Hanley on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Willie Donick of the DDC. Willie, what's going on? How we doing?
Good morning, Robbie. Joe, everything okay in the control room there? Any leaks? Any plumber, or clouds?
You know, there's a microphone in here that has been borderline assaulting Joe for the last 2 days.
Yeah, we're now in round nine of that. But it's funny, Willie, I told Robbie about that because that was 2011-12 right in there. We had Tim Hasselbeck on the air, and I remember it's like, Willie, just keep talking to Tim while I mop up the flood and the floor outside. And we were able to keep it on the air and get Tim on the air the entire time. So kudos to you for keeping the straight face during that.
Yep, Tim never knew, and he still talks with us to this day.
So right. Good. Win-win.
It all worked out. So, Willie, we discussed the Ryan McDonagh trade earlier. We had Eric Erlandson on from LightningInsider.com. I'm just curious for your thoughts. What do you think McDonagh at this stage of his career brings to the table for the Predators? And I guess how interested are you to see where he plays and who he plays with on defense?
Well, it's a pretty bold move. I think it looks like the Predators were given an opportunity to add a guy with great wisdom, great experience. He's got all of the intangibles, and he's won a ton of games. And I think if nothing else, he is going to provide great leadership and mentorship. Remember, he was the captain of the New York Rangers for a long time, and only because he was traded to the Lightning, who already had their leadership group intact. They were already a pretty darn good team when they got him. That's why he maybe isn't wearing the C for them. But he's a captain type of guy. And so I think it's going to be a great influence, you know, maybe a little different perspective for guys like Jeremy Lauzon and Dante Fabbro and Alex Carrier. But the key, Robbie, as you said, when you're paying $6.75 million for 4 years to a guy who just turned 33, the question's going to be, you know, what kind of mileage does he have left? Can he give you that top four type of minutes for the next three, four seasons? I think everybody knows that when a guy gets 35, 36, you know, he's not going to be the same as he was when he was 31, 32. So that's one thing. But for the next couple of years, I think the hope is he can be part of a shutdown pairing and be a great influence on the younger players and make that decor even stronger.
Willie, what did this kind of signal to you about how they view Dante Fabbro or an Alex Carey? Is it as simple as, man, this guy was available and you can't pass up on a good player? Or is this any type of commentary on the way that they view those two younger guys?
I think they're really happy with the way Alex Carrier has developed. I think Dante Fabbro has developed very slowly, but I think it's maybe, I think as they evaluated their team at the end of last season, I think they felt like they wanted a little bit more punch, a little more size, the ability to play and shut down top players, and that Fabbro maybe needed to take a step back to take a couple of steps forward. You know, I don't know that Dante Fabbro was a top pair guy, but remember he played almost the entire year with Roman Josi.
Yep.
In top pair minutes. So that was great experience for him. But at the same time, I think they feel like maybe they're a little bit stronger with Alex Carrier playing in theory with Roman Josi, a little more of a dynamic first pair, and Alex Carrier was part of a shutdown pair with Matthias Ekholm. Now in theory, maybe you put Ekholm and McDonagh together. And you move Dante Fabbro down to being what I would say is one of the highest level third pair guys you could have. And you put him with a guy like Jeremy Lauzon. I think top to bottom, you're a lot stronger. And I think, too, it helps to have Lauzon and or Fabbro, guys who have played plenty of minutes in the top four, who could slide up for a part of the season, right, if your guy got hurt for a couple weeks. So I just think it helps everybody with the depth.
Willie, earlier we were talking about, Robbie had a great question about, you know, with fans, I mean, do you like to make the playoff every year and kind of staying stagnant, or do you hope they don't make the playoffs and maybe get a good draft choice and move up, you know, all that stuff, and then you could, you know, you worry about the cycle of staying, you know, where you are like the Red Wings have been and the Blackhawks, and hopefully get somebody good in the draft. I just pulled up I think it's the 1999 NHL draft, and the Preds took a guy, Willie, at number six, and let's talk about, you hope the draft, you know, could get that great player to come in there. They took a guy named Brian Finley, right? We remember this?
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking at his career compared to the other guys taking the first round, and it's that's almost like a Ryan Leaf disaster pick. That was just awful.
It was, and no offense to Brian, but you know, if you look back through any first round and you start reading off the names, especially when you're picking these guys, and you guys, I heard discussing this a little bit yesterday, Joe. When you're picking guys who are just barely turning 18 years old, that's basically the age that the kids get drafted. There's going to be a lot of names that make it, but there's also going to be a lot of names, even in the first round, sometimes in the top part of the first round, that never even make it to the NHL.
Right.
Because so many guys, you know, they haven't finished growing. We don't know what they're going to look like when they're 21, 22, when most of them are going to crack the lineup. And as Robbie pointed out yesterday, you've got those generational players that come through sometimes that are ready to jump right into the league and make noise, like a Connor McDavid or an Austin Matthews or a Nathan MacKinnon. Those guys are out there. This year doesn't look like one of those years necessarily, but, you know, you're going to have some busts, and that's why your scouting is so important. It's hard. You're scouting the world, too. You're not just scouting college basketball. You're scouting everywhere where hockey is played. And even Major League Baseball, the Major League Baseball draft's coming up. You're going to have a lot of 18-year-olds drafted in that. But those are all American kids or North American kids. You know, the guys from Puerto Rico and Venezuela and overseas, those guys aren't subject to the draft. Whereas the NHL draft, you have to have literally scouts all around the globe, Russia, Sweden, Finland. You got to know everybody. So there's going to be some mistakes made for sure. And Brian Finley, unfortunately, was one of them.
Tell the story again. I know you know it better than I do, about how they found Pekka. Were they scouting like his teammate, and then somehow something piqued an interest with Pekka Rinne? Because he was not a guy they were looking at. Was that correct?
Yeah, that's a great story. That's one of their greatest stories. You'll love this, Joe, too. Remember Patrick Hornquist? He was the absolute last pick in the draft in the seventh round. He was Mr. Irrelevant. That was in the seventh round. But back when Pekka was getting picked, they had eight rounds, and Pekka was picked in the eighth round, which doesn't even exist anymore. Pekka was the backup goalie for his team in Finland. They had an established goalie at the time who played a long time in the NHL, Nicklas Backstrom. And so when the scouts went over to watch Pekka Rinne, everybody there on the team told him, hey, you better get here early, because if you want to watch Pekka Rinne, he's only going to be out there for the warm-up. He's not going to play in the game. So they had to make an assessment based on him warming up and just everything that people told him. But they looked at his frame. They talked to people around him. They said, you know, you might have something here. But he's kind of a diamond in the rough because he hasn't played very much. And sure enough, the eighth-round pick turned out to be the franchise goalie. He turned out a little bit better than Brian Finley.
Right.
He did. Must have been a really impressive warm-up the Packer threw out there, too. No question about it. Willie Donick on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Willie, we'll get to the Forsberg part of it here in just a second, but we are a week away from free agency at this point. I mean, they could still look at defense, but I kind of feel like the moves on defense with Ryan McDonagh coming in are probably done for the most part. So what else do you think David Poile and the Predators could be looking at, obviously, outside of the Forsberg situation?
Well, I'd be the first to tell you, I was not a math major at Vanderbilt. I took the easiest math classes I could possibly take. But I've been trying to crunch the salary cap numbers. You know, we all look at Cap Friendly and SpotTrack and try to figure out how much money they have left. The 6.75 for McDonagh takes up a pretty good chunk of their cushion, all the cap space that they built up the last couple of years by turning the roster over and getting younger. So if you add Forsberg into the mix, I still think there's room to try to address the other big need on the roster, which is the second line, maybe on a wing. But, you know, Robbie, what's the going rate for a good top six forward? Probably $4, $5, $6 million.
For sure.
So to do that, I'm not sure they wouldn't have to move another contract or two to have the ability to go there, right? So I think maybe they would have to make a trade or two to free up the space or actually acquire that type of guy if you budget Forsberg in there. And that's the other big part of the question here is they got to get that done.
Well, to that point, Willie, we're now a week away from free agency beginning in the NHL, and I mean, you've been pretty consistent on this over the past few weeks in terms of, all right, the calendar is flipped to July. now there's some urgency involved. And we've heard all sorts of reporting over the last week or so from Pierre LeBrun and Elliott Friedman, all these different information that's thrown out there. You still confident that this gets done by this time next week?
I put my official percentage at 73%.
I like it.
So I'm still leaving a little room there for Phillip to just decide to test the market. But I keep coming back to, again, my C minus math from Vanderbilt. Most of the people are saying the same thing. They're doing it in different ways, Robbie, but I'm sure you read all the reports that I do with Pierre.
Oh, yeah.
And Elliott Friedman, Darren Drager. If the Predators are offering in the low eights, and Darren has thrown out the number 8.25, I think that's a pretty good number to look at. Elliott threw out 8.5. That seems to be what a lot of people are throwing at. That number is going to be anything close to that, a little bit over eight, is going to be extremely hard in an eight-year deal to match for another team. A team that can only offer 7 on the free market is going to have to get well into the nines, and that's a lot for Philip Forsberg. I'm not saying he wouldn't get it, but also we've talked a lot about the tax brackets. It's much easier. That money goes a lot further in Nashville than it does in virtually any other city that would be looking at Philip Forsberg. So I think that's one of the reasons why the Predators are holding fast and trying to get him to take something as close to 8 or a little over 8 as possible, because I think every $500,000 counts, right? Every $250,000 against the cap over a long period of time, that helps add players to a roster that still needs upgrades, right? I think we all know they're trying to get back up and be able to compete with a team like Colorado. They're not going anywhere. Colorado's the champion. They're one of the best teams that's come along in a while. And so to beat them, they've got to make the roster better. So anything that they can save on the Philip Forsberg front would be valuable. So it may be coming down to the wire. And, Robbie, you said, you know, it'd be nice to have it done before the draft starts on Thursday. Most of the personnel is now up in Montreal. But I'm not sure it's going to get done before the first round. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the draft, you can join Willie Donick, myself, and Chris Mason tomorrow live from Fordyce Center in Bellevue, breaking down draft night in Smashville, the NHL draft taking place first round tomorrow. We'll break down what's going on there and what's next for the Predators as well. Willie, great stuff as always. We'll catch you here in just a few minutes on the DDC.
You got it. And looking forward to working with you, Robbie, on Thursday. Mace and I will be ready to roll, and we'll have some fun.
Absolutely, no question about it. Willie Donick, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can hear him every day from 10 to 2 on the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, your best friend, old Zach Curtis, had a birthday on July 4th. Did you get him anything?
I didn't get him anything. He's 30, too.
Did you? Big 3-0. Did you call him?
I was down there over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we hung out a little bit.
And God's Country, Loretto?
Loretto.
Yeah.
What Shout was out to Loretto, Tennessee.
All right, so Zach Curtis went to middle, played in the Major League Baseball for a while. Were you there when he made his debut in the Major Leagues?
Yep.
What was that like?
It was awesome. I mean, he got drafted by Arizona, and we flew cross-country to get there. They were playing the Rockies. So we got to the park, and it was just my family,
Phoenix?
His wife, and Fiev's in Phoenix. I mean, it's basically like my brother playing in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It's great stuff. And he stayed up there for a little while. He was kind of back and forth in the majors and the minors the next few years, and he's coaching high school baseball now in Loretto. But that was an unforgettable 72 hours.
So as a relief pitcher, you weren't guaranteed he was going to play, right? Because you don't
know. Oh, yeah, no clue.
So, but you did see him get on, come in.
We missed the first game because we got delayed in Atlanta. So we missed the first game, but we saw him the next day.
Okay.
Yeah. And I saw him two or three times after that, St. Louis and Atlanta and all over the place.
Did he have that long hippie hair going?
Oh, yeah.
That's great, yeah. Man. That must have been really cool to see a guy you grew up with and basically right, your brother to see in the major leagues.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Did you see him in Philadelphia, too, when he's with the Phillies? Did he get traded there?
He did play there. I never saw him play there, but I saw him with Texas and Arizona.
Yeah. Nice, man.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Josh in Spring Hill on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, my top sporting event, well, goes without saying. No, it doesn't, Josh. We need you to say your sporting event.
Don't say, is it Music City Miracle?
No, it could be. Well, that's the most amazing thing.
Did he not say it?
He didn't say it. He said it goes without saying, and then he didn't say it.
Thanks.
I don't know.
Super Bowl. It's funny.
Well, the Music City Miracle, you know, Nissan Stadium holds
69,100
some odd people.
All right.
And there are like 500,000 people that claim that they were there for this. So
there were. It's funny that, I had a friend of mine and his wife going to the Super Bowl. And they live in Bellevue, and they got to Atlanta that Sunday because remember it was supposed to be ice and snow, all that. And they get down there, and they left their tickets at home.
That's a tough one.
Oh, I mean, what do you do? What do you do in that moment? I mean, what do you do? You're just
and those are not the days of pulling up your phone and having them online.
That's exactly right. Yeah. They're sitting there at your house in Bellevue, and how am I going to get these things back up? I mean, what do you do at that point? Do you drop more money and do that? I mean, you're there.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine doing that. Would be so just terrible. And golly. I don't, you know, it's funny. I was working. I don't remember a lot about the Super Bowl. I just remember the lap. They couldn't stop McNair, and I always remember you watch that documentary, and Kevin Carter comes to the sideline. Dick McMillan's like, what are you doing over here? He's like, I'm tired, coach. He's like, it's the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Yeah. We need you win there. Get back into the
game.
Right. We've talked about, you know, that's a moment, again, of being there. But I always say that, and this goes back, old school Tennessee football fans, remember this. When South Carolina beat Tennessee in 92, and Tennessee had a chance to win, I think, with a two-point conversion, and Heath Shuler threw it to like the two. He rolled out and threw it to the 2 yard line, and the guy caught it and got tackled. Always in those situations, throw the ball into the end zone, no matter what. So I'm not saying that, you know, if McNair had that was the play called, I don't know, but was it Wycheck open or somebody was open on that play that he didn't see and would have been a different story?
Maybe D Mace. I can't remember. I need to go back and look.
Might have been.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. I want to get your thoughts on this, and I don't even know. I can't remember where you were at the time. It may have been two. Anyway, the day of Steve McNair's death.
Yeah,
in 2009 on July 4th.
I was going to be hosting. I was off that day. I was going to be hosting the fireworks in Franklin on the 4th of July, and I got home at 1:15, and somebody from the station calls me and says, "Hey, we got a rumor that Steve McNair has been shot and killed." And I was like, no. And then once I found out who the source was, I was like, I'll be in 10 minutes. And I called the guy in Franklin and said, hey, I will not be in there. So we go to work, and it was Corey Curtis and I that day. And I think we worked a day all through the night, next Sunday, everything. We got to Eddie George's house. I think we were there around midnight and talked to Eddie about what and his everything. And Eddie at that moment was in shock.
Yeah.
Was in complete shock at what had happened. And that's what I'll never forget, being in Eddie's house. Just he was just distraught and everything. It was just a moment I'll never forget. But that was the day. You know, it was the – what I also remember about this, and that's nothing new with what happened with Steve, was you had – I knew guys that owned satellite trucks, right? That's 4th of July weekend. So they all had to get to Nashville, and I think ESPN might have paid Channel 2 like $25,000 to rent the sat truck for the week. Because back then there were no fibers and fiber connections. There were no TV units on your backpack, which transmit and all that. You had satellite truck. You had to roll the cable out there, and I'll never forget. And so the guys run the satellite trucks, 4th of July, you call them on the weekend, and then a holiday weekend. I'll never forget that. And I remember the press conference with Serpas came out there, and talked about that, and then the stories started trickling in, how it all came, how it all happened, and with her, and buying the gun, and where she worked at, and just from the news perspective, you had to cover all those stories.
Yeah.
And it was like, this story is never going to end, and it's just awful what happened.
It's hard to believe that it's been, this is 13 years
yeah.
since that happened. It really is. Like, it's, I was thinking about that over the weekend. I remember, I mean, I was on the beach. I remember exactly where I was when I found out what happened, and we just kind of went back to the hotel room and watched the coverage of it for a while on ESPN at the time because we were down in Florida. But 13 years.
It might have been. I mean, it's, you know, you go back. I don't know what happened in the 40s, 50s, 60s, but the moment where what's not the just the most bizarre moment or crazy moment, but that moment where you always remember where you were and what yeah. happened. And you talk about you're on the beach and where I was. Everybody else remembers where they were that moment they heard on that Saturday. And it's just something you'll never forget. I mean, there's moments, you know, the flood, you know, for me, the tornado of 2020 that ripped apart DCA and my son's school. I mean, there's moments like that you won't forget. And that McNair thing is one of those.
Yeah, no question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Also, we got Michelle in this. We're going to play a little game, which I started here 10 years ago.
I'm looking forward to this.
I'm bringing it back today. Michelle, the game is called Celebrity Birthdays. You've got to guess the birthday within 2 years. Everybody thinks they know this game until you play the game, right? And we got some really cool birthdays. That's do not cheat. We'll come look at your browser history.
That's right.
That's all next, Robbie.
We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are your racing station, 102.5, 106.3. The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Quaker State 400. Also, you can join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for the racing weekend. NASCAR on 102.5, 106.3. The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Dubin. Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley, here with you on this Wednesday morning. It is time for a Joe Dubin staple here on the program.
It's time for Celebrity Birthdays. You play this game with your friends. It's a lot of fun. You think you know until you don't know. Here's the deal. We'll throw out a celebrity's birthday. How old are they? And you've got to get them within 2 years on either side.
Okay.
So if Robbie Stanley turns 44, you say 41, no good. If you say 46, you're good. Within the two-year window of doing this. All right, let's do this. Let's start with this. First birthday of the morning. Rob, you go first because I'm looking at you the way I know you're not cheating.
Okay.
He played Robin on the Batman and Robin series. How old is actor Burt Ward?
Oh, man. I will say, do I just give an age or actual birth date?
An age.
Okay, I will go 72.
Okay, Michelle?
68.
He is 77 years old. Moving on.
0 for 1.
Rocky, we talked about him. Sylvester Stallone, one of the best writers, actors of all time. How old today is Sylvester Stallone?
Michelle, go first.
84.
Ooh, I'll go 68.
He is 76 years old.
Good gracious.
You guys sandwiched him right there.
Yeah, we did.
Well done. Actor Jeffrey Rush, he was in, I think, some of those awful Pirates of the Caribbean movies. How old is he?
I'll go 72.
I'll go 57.
71. Robbie
Stanley.
All righty, on the board.
Good job, Robbie. All right, Michelle, this is you. How old is 50 Cent?
Oh, gosh. See?
Nope. No analysts. You just give me an age.
52.
46.
47.
All right.
What the heck? Yeah. I suck at this game.
Robbie Stanley's up 2 now. Come on,
worst
Michelle.
Worst first pitch of all time, 50 Cent.
All right, Michelle, actor Kevin Hart. How old is he?
Okay, I think I got this one. Okay. I'm going to say Kevin Hart is 43.
36. He's 43 exactly.
Wow, woo!
Good job, Michelle. Well done. I don't know this actor, so we'll skip past her.
Okay.
Donaldson native, country singer, Grand Ole Opry, Jeannie Seeley.
I will go 64.
I will go.
Now, hold on, Michelle. Let's do deductive reasoning on this, okay? How old are you, Michelle?
25.
How many of your friends are named Jeannie? Right?
I actually, well, not a friend. I do know one person.
Okay, well, so.
Ruin that.
In my defense, the only person I've known so far is Kevin Hart. So my guesses are really out there. Jeannie, so I'm thinking we'll go 64.
82. So, so you'll learn deductive reasoning by this game.
You don't think anybody in their 60s is named Jeannie?
Not. Do you know anybody in their 60s? No, there might be one or two. But the point is, it's, you know, you look at these names, yeah, and they're generational. I mean, they're names that were for that. You understand that that was popular back then, and so you figure out. All right, so another one is actor Fred Dreyer. He was, what was the TV? He played for the Rams for many years. He was the TV show The Detective. Was it Hunter? Not Hunter, but.
You're asking the wrong person.
God, Fred Dreyer.
We need Rex Road.
Hold on. Fred Dreyer. Rex Road would know this. The only thing he probably knows. Fred Dreyer was on the TV show Don't Go Anywhere. Hold on. I can't believe I forget. This is me getting old. Hunter, the TV show Hunter,
okay,
which, by the way, was the most popular TV show in China for like 20 years.
Really?
So Fred Dreyer was played in the NFL for many, many, many years. How old is Fred Dreyer?
So I'll go first.
59.
71.
76.
Oh, man.
I really suck.
That's close.
We're getting there. All right, another one real quick for you. She was a secretary on the TV show Moonlighting, Alice Beasley.
62. 74. 71. Oh, you're so close.
So close. All right, here's one for you. We're getting down to the end here. Rapper Inspecta Deck of Wu-Tang Clan. How old is he, Robbie? Inspecta Deck.
59.
Yeah, I know TD likes Wu-Tang, so I'm going to say 54.
Oh, 52. Good job.
Oh, heck yeah. We're tied, Robbie. 2-2.
Tied at 2. And here comes. All right. Now, Michelle, I think you can get this where Robbie can't. Actors, they're twins. Tia and Tamara Mowry, they were in Sister, Sister.
Sister, Sister, my show.
How old are they today?
I'm going to say 37.
48.
44.
Oh,
they're old.
We're tied in Sue. All right, we got one more, and then we'll get out of here. How old is the Dalai Lama?
Oh, God.
Today's his birthday. And he says, Goonga Galunga. He's the Dalai Lama.
I will go 81.
88.
87. Michelle wins.
Winner, 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 winner.
With the walk-off. Outstanding. Good job. So there's the game. Play with friends. They have a lot of fun because they think they know until they don't know.
It's more difficult than you think
it is. Also, George Bush's birthday today, the 43rd U.S. president. But you've already lost, though. Take a guess.
Yeah. 76.
Exactly.
Nailed it.
Too bad. Good job, Michelle.
We kind of tied.
No, you didn't. Michelle, you won.
Okay, cool. I win.
Well done, Michelle. And you win a UC Soros bobblehead.
Yes. Thank you.
Nice.
Hey, Joe Dubin Staple.
Yeah, well done. Thank you, everybody, for playing.
Very well done.
I can't believe you didn't know Fred Dreyer, man, the show Hunter. I forget that I'm an old man and y'all aren't old.
Now we got to guess Joe's age.
When did Hunter come out?
Hunter came out in 1986, I think it is. Right?
I was born in 92.
Yeah, Robbie and I are 90s babies.
Right? That's okay. Yeah, I guess so. But you need to know these people.
That is true.
You need to know who they are and what they did. So, yeah, Fred Dreyer, legend in the game of NFL.
Have you ever had somebody that's been, like, overly confident with you on this game, like, just cocky to the point where, oh, why were you doing this? I'll know this. And they just totally suck.
Every single time.
Yes.
In fact, I was shocked that nobody came up and said, oh, this is easy, I can get all that. It's every time.
Yeah.
And you get down to it, it's like, oh, man. Like, you know, Stallone, you don't think Stallone, you know.
I still have a picture of Stallone in my head of Rocky. So
right. Like, you know, I remember my grandpa at 76. You know, God bless, he's the man I love more than any person that's ever lived. But at 76, I mean, he couldn't make it across the living room without getting out of breath. And there's Stallone. It's 76. You look at Mick Jagger, I think, who's 78, 79.
Yeah.
And I watched, here's how bored I was one day. I watched Mick Jagger's aerobic workout on YouTube one day. And this was a couple years ago, so he's like 76. I was just mesmerized. And I know he's skinny, and I get all that, but there's a reason that he's skinny. And I'm thinking, this guy, so always stay moving and active.
Money can make you younger.
Yeah. Yeah, and there it is, man.
There's that. Viking Matt on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, the Twins went to my high school. I'm 2 years ahead of them. I guess talking about the Maori
Tia
Twins.
And Tamara?
Yeah.
I used to love their show. Sister, sister. That was a song. It was
so good.
What?
Did you say what high school?
No high school on the list.
But that should be another question one day. Is like, who went to, not to your high school, but was there the same time you were there?
Yeah. Taylor Swift for Robbie.
There is that.
The
Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift. High School.
Do you remember her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Think she'd remember you now?
Maybe. Robbie, probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What grades was this?
She was 2 years older than me. So she was, I played middle school football with her brother. At Ellis Middle School. And then she was...
What's his name?
His name's Austin.
Swift.
Yeah, Austin Swift.
Are you sure about
that? Yeah, that's last name. I can confirm her last name was Swift before she got famous. But yeah, she was 2 years ahead of me. By the time that I got to high school, she was starting to become famous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did she
hadn't quite signed a record deal yet, I don't think, but she was pretty close.
Did she finish high school at Hendersonville?
No.
Okay.
No.
Homeschooled or whatever it is?
Yeah, on the road, whatever they call it.
And got out of there. You know, because The Rock came to McGavick the year after I left. He was only there for 6 weeks, but we claim him as an alumni. And so, and for years, people were like, he didn't go there. Then one night he's on Jimmy Fallon, and he's like, yeah, I grew up in Nashville. I went to McGavick High School, and I went to Glencliff for a little bit. And I was like, what?
Dwayne?
And so my phone's like, oh, my God, you were right. You didn't lie. I'm like, why would I lie?
Why would I lie about The Rock? Yeah. You tweet him all the time. That's great stuff.
So The Rock went to McGavick for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Well, nobody cool went to my high school, that I know of at least.
What high school did you go to?
Shenandoah High School in upstate New York.
Spell that? Good Lord.
Okay, ready? S-H.
S-H.
E-N.
E-M.
E-N.
E-N. Dadgumma, E-N.
No, it's like S-H-E-N-E-N. D-E.
D-E.
H-O-W-A. I mean, other than myself, of course.
Shenandoah?
Shenandoah.
Shenandoah. I wouldn't go.
Rolls right off the tongue.
I can't spell your school. All right, I pulled up the Wikipedia page, Michelle. I was going to say
Kevin Herter, who's in the NBA, or Ian Anderson, who's in the MLB.
There you go.
Hold on. Notable alumni. Murphy Smith. Oh, you got Pierre Prosper. He was a United Nations war crimes prosecutor.
There you go.
Miles Joseph. Thomas Curley. And Ian Anderson, except this Ian Anderson was not through Jethro Tull. He played in baseball. Is he still in the baseball?
He won the World Series of the Braves.
I don't follow baseball. I can. All I know is that the Braves had. You know, I stopped watching baseball in '94 when they canceled the World Series. I was done after that.
The Magic Man on Twitter says, "My Lord, did Big Joe pick up a 1982 edition of TV Guide for this segment? It's like an NPR game show."
Maybe so.
There's a lot of TV Guide references today here on the program.
Now, Michelle, do you know Ian well?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can call him up and get him on the show?
Yeah,
I'll text him quick.
You will learn in your career in radio that not to say you know people, because they'll be like, that's funny, I did the show with Willie, right, for years. So one day I wasn't feeling good, and Willie's like, hey, I need you to book somebody from the talk about the New York Jets football team. I've told Willie the story too. I'm like, yeah, I get it. So we come to work for an hour before the show. Willie's like, hey, did you get hold of so and so with the and Mitch Light was in studio that day too, right? So Mitch Light was here an hour ahead of time, which I don't know why. And I'm like, nah, man, I couldn't get a hold of him. You know, he's under the weather or something. And Mitch was like, hey, I know him. He's one of my best friends. I'll call him up. And I'm like, oh, Grad's got caught in a lie. Because I didn't text this guy, I didn't email. I just didn't feel like calling this guy at all.
There's Mitch like, don't worry, I've got you covered.
I'm like, oh, great. Like, hey, we tried to reach out to him. He's like, I didn't get any email or anything.
And, it's the weirdest thing. Guess it just didn't go through.
And it's a funny thing. I'll tell you another thing real quick before we go. In my phone, we got all these phone numbers throughout the year. So I've got Adam Schefter's phone number right in my phone.
Yeah.
So one day, I was at the YMCA, and why I had my phone in my pocket, I don't know why. I came back out, and I had like a 43-minute phone call for some weird so a number that Adam Schefter had, right? I'm like, what in the world is going on here with this, like, 2012? So long. I'm like, what number? Did he stay on the phone that long? What did I call, a fax machine? Did he call the cops? They kept me on the line to find my location? So I don't know what happened, but it was on for 43 minutes. My phone, I hit a button and I called Adam Schefter.
Ugh, crazy. Amazing.
By the way, Michelle, Ian Anderson committed to play baseball at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Yes. But then he went into the big leagues.
I'm learning all kind of things today.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game. The Nashville Sounds hit the road to take on the Columbus Clippers, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians. You can catch all the action tonight on 94.9 The Fan at 6:05. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in. Last segment of the day here with Robbie Stanley, Joe Dubin, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with us as well on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
It's flown by. I mean, we got here, what, pre-show meeting at 5?
Yeah, pre-show meeting went very well.
And then at 5:40 we had makeup, and then next thing you know, we're on the air at 6, and then it's just flown by this morning.
By the way, if it's some conflicting information that hit, you talked about earlier in the Kansas City game that took out Travis Kelce in the playoffs. We had a vote for Jonathan Cyprian, and now somebody's saying it was Bernard Pollard. I'm pretty sure Pollard was gone by then.
But yeah, Pollard was. I don't think he was on the 2017 team. Pollard, did he not – was he the one that took out Brady's knee in 08?
I believe that he was.
Was he blind? I don't think it was malicious.
I think he just fell into it, yeah.
Yeah, was taken out then. So, yeah, I think Pollard was long gone by then. But Pollard didn't play around. He'd knock your head off, man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up. Yeah, he was gone from the Titans by then.
Yeah, so I think Cyprian may be the winner there. We'll have to go back and look, though.
Yeah, Titan, Pollard was only here 2 years, 13 and 14.
Oh, good Lord, yeah.
Yeah, so he was not there when that happened in 17. But whoever it was that hit Kelce in that playoff game, that changed the whole game around. I mean, he was helmet to helmet and laid out. I don't think there was a penalty on that play. Am I correct in remembering that?
I believe you are correct.
Yeah, no penalty on that play, and there should have been a penalty on that play.
So what do you make of the job that Mike Vrabel has done thus far? Obviously, he just got named NFL Coach of the Year. I think most people would agree that he's a pretty darn good coach. I don't always like the way that he handles things, and he can be a little prickly sometimes with the media, but it is what it is. That's a lot of good coaches do things that way. What do you make of the job that he has done thus far, and how good of a coach do you think he can end up being when everything's all said and done?
I think the moment when he benched Mariota was, if they'd have kept Mariota as quarterback, Vrabel would have been fired. Probably they give him one more year, probably 20, he'd have been gone.
Yep,
because Mariota was that bad. Yeah, you know, oh, he's a nice guy. Oh, great, not demeaning his character at all. He was not a good quarterback. And all this, you know, like, oh, he's at the Falcons now and all this, it's going to be the same thing. He had a pass in training camp. People got all excited about it. It's like, it's training camp. Give me a break. I think when Vrabel took that and benched after that Denver game, which, like we've talked about, the worst performance by a pro quarterback I've ever seen, which was awful, I think it turned around, and so it took a while for guys to start buying. And, of course, it helps when you got Henry, and Tannehill was on fire in 2019. But I think that his message to the team, that he cares about him and we're going to win, and then if you dispute that, he can pull out 3 Super Bowl rings and say, here's what I've done. I've been a part of all this. And I think it resonates with the players. And I genuinely think he cares about those guys. I'm not overly the biggest fan of his. I mean, again, I don't know him well, but still, I just think that what he's done and kind of get this franchise on the nice trajectory on now owes a lot of credit to Vrabel. What happens now? It's still weird what happened with him and Dean Pease. I think there was something weird there that went on because Dean Pease is all about, I'm going to go home and retire the next year. He's like, hey, I'm in Atlanta. Come down and see me.
Now he's back again this year.
He's back again this year.
An awful team.
So, but I think by Vrabel, by making a decision, by getting rid of Mariota, bringing in Tannehill was on fire, and of course having Derrick Henry and all that is still good. And you know, they don't hand out Coach of the Year to 15 coaches every year. To win that, I thought was really good. I wish he had a better suit on when he got the award that fit him. That would have been nice, but he's fine, you know. And it's, you know, you come off the Malarkey and the Wizenhut and the Munchak and the Fisher. You talk about a team that had one coach from 94 to 2010, and then you have four coaches in the next 8 years after that. It was kind of different, but I think now 18, 19, 20, 21, entering his fifth season here, and they've been winning seasons the whole time, which had not happened before the 5-6 previous years.
I think he's done a really good job. I mean, I think he's obviously established himself as one of the top coaches in the game. I mean, you've got Belichick, obviously, and McVay just won a Super Bowl. I mean, there's a bunch of different guys you could point to. Andy Reid's been doing this at a high level for a long time. But Vrabel, I think, has done a really good job. And now the question is, working in conjunction with John Robinson, because, I mean, they both just got a contract extension. They're going to be here for a long time.
Sure.
Can they get this roster to a point where they're good enough to win a Super Bowl? I mean, they've been right there knocking on the door. They were the number one seed last year. They were, you know, in the AFC title game a few years ago in 19. And I think everybody just kind of feels like maybe they missed their window last year. Can you build yourself back up to that point? I'm interested to see how quickly they can do that.
I agree. And we talked yesterday about that four defensive linemen can wreak havoc. This team's got a chance to go a long way because they might be the best in the league. And there might be one or two other teams better than that. But if Simmons can do that and Bud Dupree and those guys, and you don't have to rely on blitzing and exotic coverage and everything else, and just let them play pure football, rushing the passer, man versus man, I think this team could be really good. If not, it could be a long season. What happens with those guys?
Yeah, they've got to find a way to continue to get to the quarterback. And obviously, I'm sure we'll be talking about Ryan Tannehill and dissecting every pass that he throws.
God, I hope he has a fantastic year so Stillman has nothing to talk about. I hope he has. Can you imagine if Ryan Tannehill wins the MVP? I mean, I think that might send Stillman over the edge. He might move to Canada after that. He might not be staying around here anymore. I would just go crazy with that. But we'll see. I mean, the first game is, it's still 2 months away.
I know.
Then training camp shows up, and then you talk about dissecting every single play that
happens.
It's always
the most amazing thing to me, and we got to go real quick, but thought.
Where are we going?
In sports in general, like the amount of fuss that gets made over – NFL training camp practices is the most amazing thing ever.
And we said every year we're not going to do it, and we all do it every single year.
Every single year. There's no question about it. Joe Dubin.
All right, man.
Day number two down. You'll be back again tomorrow for the rest of this week. Looking forward to it.
You take care of yourself.
You do the same thing. That's going to do it for us today. The DDC is coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.